We're going to learn Daf Nun Zayin and Masechtas Nedarim. We're going to start from the Mishnah right at the top of the Yomid. Once again, we are continuing to give examples of something that a person might say, and the question is what's included in the Neder and what's not included in the Neder, depending on the particular phrase that he uses. So, here's the example that the Mishnah gives. Koinim Peres Ha'elu Alai. Person says, I make a koinim, as we've described many times. Koinim is like saying, I want it to be similar to a carbon, or not necessarily carbon per se, but I want it to be similar to hektish, and I want these peiros to be, for me, considered to be hektish. Now, obviously, they are not actually hektish, but we want them to be considered hektish so that they are usher to me. Or, the Mishnah just gives a couple of different ways of phrasing them. Koinim hein al pi, I want them to be usher for me to eat them. Koinim hein lifi, they should be usher also to put into my mouth. So the halacha is, in all of those examples, usher b'chilifeihen u'b'gidulehen. In all of those cases, they are usher. The object itself, obviously, is usher. But not only is the thing, the peiros, that you said that are going to be usher, so not only are these specific apples going to be usher, but what you swap them out for, meaning if I switch these apples for an orange, the oranges as well are going to be usher. Ubigidulein refers to the fact that if I plant this orange and it goes and grows, so that whole orange tree afterwards is going to be usher. Okay. As opposed to, let's read the next line in the Mishnah before we explain a little bit of what the Ran has to say. As opposed to Shani Oicho B'Shani Toyem, Mutter b'chilufein u'b'gidulein. Then it says, as opposed to if I say what I won't eat it, or that I'm not going to taste it, so then obviously those, the apples are going to be, right, I'm saying these apples are going to, I didn't say the word these, I said apples, I'm not going to eat apples and I'm not going to taste apples, right, all apples are around, so then obviously I can't eat apples because I said I made an eder, and that an eder, I'm not going to eat apples, but if they get switched, the apples get switched, for, as in our example, it gets switched for an orange. So some store out in Hutz Machai goes ahead and sells his apples and buys oranges, and I buy those oranges. Those oranges aren't going to be usher. And if you do lehen, also the same idea. If somebody goes ahead and plants some apples and they grow a tree, I'm not going to be usher. Okay? So let's stop over here, even though it's in the middle of a sentence. But just to first of all, so the point that the Ran makes over here, which is very important to the Ran, is that, so what's the distinction between the two? In both of those cases, I'm making apples also. So the Ran says the major distinction is when I said the word elu. When I say elu, I mean these specific, so then I can actually make them usher, but I'm not only making them usher, I'm creating an actual isser on it, and like any other isser, either hektish or isser hano, that the Ran compares it to, any other isser hano, when something gets swapped out for the isser hano, that money or that object becomes equally as usher. The isser hanah to me, relative to me, transfers and continues to hold on to that kedusha. But that's only true when I say the word elu, because I've created a specific type of isser, and then it continues to stay with the initial object that created the isser. Whereas when I don't say the word elu, and I just make apples, again, I use the example apples, but obviously it can mean anything. But I use the apples, I make all apples. Well, the example that the Ran uses is grapes. I make all grapes in the whole world usher. Then obviously I just mean those, the idea is that I'm not going to eat grapes. But that doesn't mean to say that grapes have created the isser so that there's an isser hano that stays with it, that no matter whatever happens to those grapes, including whether they get swapped out or they grow into something else, that there was never an intention over here that those other things should be usser as well. That was never the plan, because I meant I'm just not going to eat the grapes that are here, and it just means to stay on the grapes. So that's the major point that the Ran makes over here. Then he goes off on a side point that we see other Gemaras that concentrate and focus on other types of the other questions. Where the Gemara also wants to know whether it's relevant to the person who makes the neder versus the person who's impacted by the neder. And over there also, the Gemara there says it depends on the chilufin and the gidulin, but there, again, as the Ran says, that's because there's a difference the question over there really relates to whether somebody else continues with that isser or not. But the point is that we see the point is, the Ran goes, still reverts back to his main point, which is over here, the Isser is because I said Elu. And again, I know this is getting very, very technical, but because we're adding the word Elu, so now that is what creates a real Isser, or relative, from the perspective of a neder, it creates a real Isser, and once it creates a real Isser, so then it's going to be Usser no matter what happens to it, including if it gets swapped out, and including if it grows something else. Okay, so that's what the Ran is saying, and that's how the Ran understands the distinction between these grapes versus all grapes in general. Then, on the next line of the Mishnah, the Mishnah continues, and is the way the Ran learns is that this line actually refers to the entire Mishnah, not just the last line. The last line we said was that if I say in general that I'm not going to taste it, I'm not going to eat it, so we say that it only means that object itself and not what gets swapped out. The Mishnah continues, but again, as the point I was making is that the Ran says this is not really related specifically to that line of the Mishnah, it relates to the entire Mishnah. It says, "Bedover shazarei kala." When do we say that it's going to be mutter in the chilufin and the gidulin, or in the case, even in the first case, the gidulin, the next level after the first thing that gets swapped out? It's only talking about bedover shazarei kala, that is, when you plant it, it completely, I'm going to use the word disintegrate, it completely dissolves, it goes away, and then it regrows, and it's a rebirth for something else. Obviously, the DNA and whatever is necessary is still in the ground, and that's what, of course, creates the next thing to grow, but the actual object itself is no longer part of whatever grows out in the future. But if you have the type of object where it stays intact and just continues to grow from there, afilu gedula gedulin asurin, even those things that grow from it eventually are going to be usur. Why? Because the original isser is always there. The original isser stays intact, and then whatever grows, yes, there's lots more growing, but it's growing from the isser. And since it's growing from the isser, it's going to continue to be usur. So this is obviously talking about the gedulin, not the chilufin, because by the chilufin are no different than zarei kala. Chilufin is by virtue of the fact that I take my apple and I switch it out to the orange, there's nothing in the orange that is a continuation of the apple. It's a completely different object. So obviously those things are going to be mutter. But by gidulin you can have, so the example, again, the two examples that we give are either a grape, where you plant the seed of a grape, that seed completely disintegrates, and then you have a vine that grows as completely something else, versus the example that the Ran gives is an onion. If you take an onion, if you take the core of an onion and you plant it in the ground, another onion will grow, extra layers of the onion are going to grow. But the core of the onion that you started with is still going to be there. In any event, so that's the distinction, because again, one is growing on what previously existed, whereas the other one is sort of starting fresh and starting anew. In any event, all of that is to explain every case in the Mishnah, whether we're talking about the Elu case or we're talking about the general case, that even when it's, so the Chiddush is when you have something that ain't Zarei Kala, it's going to continue to be Usser forever. Because the initial thing that's usur continues to be there, so it doesn't matter whether it's gidulin gidulin, it doesn't matter whether it's even, when you say in general, that I'm not going to eat grapes, again, grapes is not a good example, but let's say I say I'm not going to eat onions, so then the initial thing that's usur continues to be usur, and whatever comes about from that initial growth is going to continue to be usur. Okay, so that's the basic first part of the Mishnah. So that is true, and that's also part of what the Mefarshim talk about that explain the Ran. They do point out that the Ran does say that even though the first part of the Mishnah says chilufin and gidulin, it's only the first what you call generation, the next level. But that after that, that's never what was intended and included in the neder in the first place. Okay, so then the question is, of course, the reason why the Mefarshim have a hard time with this is because if you're really comparing it to real Isurei Hano, if it's real Isurei Hano, then it should just be, then Isurei Hano would continue no matter how many levels you go. So it's not real Isurei Hano. So they have to say that it's actually, there's actually a lot of Achrenim that just deal with it and give different terutzim, but the Pashtus is, again, one of the terutzim is that that's not what he meant when he made the neder in the first place. He didn't mean to make all grapes usur forever and ever and ever in the rest, for the rest of the world. Different ways to explain it, but that's one of the ways to explain it. Mishnah continues with another similar example, but so this one is a little bit extra. Ha'imer le'ishtoi, koinim maisa yodeich alai. So this is an example that we've seen many times where a person says, I don't want your earnings. I don't want to have anah from your earnings. And I want that to be usur. So, of course, the obvious question that the Gemara doesn't get into over here is, it's davar shelo ba'alei olam. So that already we deal with simply by saying, we mean yodehem le'oseihem. We're referring to their hands. Okay, fine. So we're not going to get into that issue. But the point is, he says that what you earn is going to be usur. So it's the same type of case over here, except that we're not talking about directly on the food item that we're talking about, but rather on what she earns. And other mafarshim say that we're actually talking about something where she already earned the money. So the money is there. Let's say the money is in her bank account. So since it's in her bank account already, so we know exactly what we're talking about. So it's not there's no davar shelo ba'alei olam issue. In any event, so we know what it is. And he says, I don't want to have any hanah. And once again, that's the same thing as saying elul. Or similar to the first half of the Mishnah, that we give a couple of examples to illustrate the same point. Koinim hein alpi, koinim hein lifi. So each one of those examples again are usur b'chilufehen u'b'gidulehen. So once again, it's not only going to be usur, the initial money that we're talking about. So I say the word money, which is actually not a good translation. The case, the way the Ran learns and the way the Mefarshim learn over here, the case is that she did some sort of work, and she then the person who is paying her for the work pays her with food. Okay, pays her with the fruit. And that's on that fruit itself is what the person is hereby saying, that I don't want to have any anah from that payment. Okay, which makes it much easier to understand, and that's what chiluf and gedulin in it means. It's the same thing as we said in the earlier part of the Mishnah, where then if you take that object and sell it for something else, you swap it for something else, or you plant it and you grow something, that's why the Mefarshim here say the case is that she was paid in some produce. Okay? And then otherwise, what's the gidulein? Yeah, right? Okay, I mean, you could explain it other ways, but that's the simplest way of explaining it. Anyway, the point is that it's going to be usur, because he made specifically this money that she earned, that becomes a specific thing. Sha'ani oichol, sha'ani toyem, mutter. But if he says, in general, I'm not going to have anything to do with my siyadayim, then it's going to be mutter. What? Mutter, sorry, b'chulufein, b'gidulein. And it's again going to be mutter and won't get swapped out because it's so general. He only means to asr specifically what's here in existence. The davish is arei kolo, and again, this all only applies to something that the original object that what you were asring doesn't exist anymore, and that's why what comes out of it is going to be mutter. Aval b'davish ein zarei kolo, afilu gedul gedul asurin. So something that does not go away, even the growth from the growth is going to be usur. So by the way, you see very clearly over here, the gedulei gedulim are going to continue to be usur if ein zarei kolo, right? It doesn't stop when it's, if it's not zarei kolo, meaning the core of isur is still there, it's going to continue to be usur.
That's in contradiction to the first case, the first part of the Mishnah?
No.
No.
The other thing that the Mefarshim point out over here is that even what he says is usur is only in her maisi yadayim. Meaning, if let's say the husband is the one that provides her with the materials, and just for argument's sake, let's say the materials are worth $100, and she goes ahead and she produces something and she takes the wool that the husband gives her and she makes a shirt out of it, and the shirt sells for $200. So what he's asering is only that extra $100 that she earned. The $100 that he gave her, the wool itself, the value of the materials itself, is not going to be usur. It's only, what he's asering here is only the material. It's only the maisi yadayim part of it. Okay, that's something that the Mefarshim point out. Okay, let's continue with the next part of the Mishnah. So, the next case of the Mishnah is Sha'at Isa Eini Oichol Ad HaPesach. Okay, so now the way he phrases this is what makes all the difference in the world. He says, anything you do, Eini Oichol Ad HaPesach, I am not going to eat it I'm not going to use it or eat it from between now and Pesach. Okay, but it doesn't matter when she makes it. That's not the point. The point is that he's creating the iser on him, is that he's not going to use it or aser it or eat it until Pesach. Now, as opposed to, and the point of this Mishnah is really the versus the next line, Sha'at Oisa, that's also the same thing. It's just another example that instead of saying I'm not going to eat it, I'm not going to wear it. Okay, so if she makes some sort of clothing or something, she's not going to wear it again. But the iser itself only applies ad haPesach, until Pesach. Now, asa lifnei haPesach, mutter lecho l'schasech achar haPesach, and therefore, if she made it before Pesach, it doesn't matter when she made it. It's only a matter of when the iser is. So since the iser ends at Pesach time, it's only going to be usur for him to use it before Pesach. But after Pesach, achar Pesach, it's going to be mutter, because the iser itself only stopped at Pesach. It was only usur until Pesach. Versus now, let's see the contrast of a different way of saying it. Sha'at oisa ad haPesach. What he says is the following: anything that you make until Pesach, eini oichel, I'm never going to eat it. Okay, so now it doesn't matter what the time frame is now. Anything that is made before Pesach continues with that iser even after. Okay, and same thing, instead of eating, he's talking about I'm not going to wear it. So here the Mishnah therefore concludes, because of the way he phrased it, if she in fact made it before Pesach, which is the condition that he said, if you make it before Pesach, then it's going to be usur even after, it's going to be usur even after Pesach. Okay? Because the way he said it was, once you make it, if you make it in this time frame, is when you make it, when you create the condition. So once you make it, then the iser applies. The iser, there is no limitation on the iser, as opposed to the first way we said it, where the limitation was on when the iser will apply. And in the first way he says that I'm only going to be usur until Pesach, so then it doesn't matter when she makes it, then it's just a matter of timing when the iser is going to apply. Okay, so that's that part of the Mishnah. Yes. That takes us to, we're now the second to last line before the bottom of the Amud. Yes, do you hear me? The Mishnah says, Sha'at nenes li ad haPesach. He says, you are not allowed to have hanoah from me. In other words, that's the neder. You're not allowed to have hanoah from me until Pesach. But here's the condition. Im ha'leches at lebeis avich ad achag. If you go from now, between now, any time, until Sukkot. Now, just visualize this from the perspective of, it's this time of year that we're now between Sukkot and Pesach, meaning the next Yontif to come up is going to be Pesach, and Sukkot is going to happen afterwards, okay? So what he's saying is, the Isser is going to be now, but the condition to create the Isser is going to apply even after now, it's going to apply until the condition itself. Remember, the condition is going to apply until Pesach. So, the halacha is, the Mishnah says, Holcha lefnei haPesach asura b'hanos ad haPesach. If she actually goes before Pesach, then it's clear that the condition was triggered. Because remember, the condition was until Sukkot, but she already went before Pesach. She went already before Pesach, it's going to be usur before, the Isser is only going to apply until Pesach. Because that's when the Isser is certainly created. La'achar haPesach, now when the Mishnah says now on the top of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, when it says La'achar haPesach, B'Baal Yechel, if she ends up going, meaning if she ends up traveling between Pesach and Sukkot, and by that point he already had Hanoah from her, which was the time of the Isser, because he already had the Hanoah before Pesach, there's going to be an Isser of Baal Yechel, meaning the Baal Yechel it's after the fact. The Isser happened, and now you triggered it. So Lima Freya, this is the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Lima Freya, it turns out that you actually were not allowed to have Hanoah. It turns out that you really were over on your nether, and therefore there's going to be an Isser of Baal Yechel. So it just happens to be, as a reminder, this is really a sugya on Daf Tezvav. This goes back all the way to Daf Tezvav. It's a machlekes between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda, whether it would have been mutter. Now, if she, the point is that if she didn't travel before Pesach, we have no idea, we have no way of knowing whether or not she is eventually going to travel before Sukkot. We have no way of knowing whether the Isser is going to be triggered. If it's triggered, she's taka Osir now. If she doesn't end up going, it's not Osir. This is machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda, whether or not we have to be worried, whether we're choishish, that she is going to go and that she is going to trigger. According to one shita, I think according to Rav Nachman, it's going to be mutter, and we're not worried that she's going to go. And whatever happens, happens. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's an issur derabbanan that we're not even going to allow him to spend time with her before Pesach because it might turn out that she's going to be awesome. Okay, that's the line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, the last part of the Mishnah. Sha'at nenes li ad ha'chag. Now, here he's creating the issur itself is going to apply all the way to Sukkot. Im ha'leches at lebeis avich ad ha'pesach. If you go between now and Pesach, which is a shorter period of time, so between now and Pesach we'll know whether or not she goes. If she goes, obviously there's an Isser, and then that Isser will apply till Pesach, which is exactly what the Mishnah says. Hochel lefnei Pesach, if she goes before Pesach, asura b'hanos le'ad ha'chag, then the hano is going to continue even until Sukkot, because this is the time to create the condition. If she creates the condition, it's going to be Osir for as long, the time period that he said it's going to be Osir, which is beyond the condition period. Umuteres le'lech achara Pesach. And this last line of the Mishnah is actually an interesting Kiddush. It is mutter for her to go after Pesach. Now, in this case, he never asked her for going after Pesach. So why would you think there should be any issur whatsoever? So the Gemara, again, back on Tesvav, already answered this question and explained that the Chiddush is that you might think, or actually the Ran there on Tesvav explained that the Chiddush is that we don't make any gezeiros. Once it's mutter, it's going to be mutter, and even though he might be during a period that's usher, we're not, even though now is the time period, because he said until Sukkot. So you might think that everything about what he says applies till Sukkot. The Chiddush is, if it's not the time period that creates, that triggers the Isser, then it's not, then there's no Isser whatsoever. We don't make a Gezeirah D'Rabbanan. Okay, fine. So that's the end, that takes us to the end of the mission. So let's continue now on the Gemara. The Gemara right away jumps to the second case and quotes the beginning half of our mission. It says, "Omer l'ishtoi koinim ma'isi yadech alai." He says, "I want to make your earnings usher to me, or koinim heim alpi, koinim heim lifi." So then the halacha was that not only was her earnings usher, because that's what he explicitly said very clearly, but also the chilufin and the gidulin, what gets swapped out, and also what grows from that. And as we explain, the case is, here the case is that somebody paid her with payros. Somebody paid her with something that can be either sold or planted. Okay, so now let's explain this case a little bit further in the Gemara. Yishmol ish kfar yoimo. So either his name was Yishmol, who came from a place, as the Ran says, in a city near the ocean or near the sea. Va'amri lo ish kfar diyama. Okay, anyway, hella biyodoi botzol sheikroi b'shvius v'notoi b'shminus. Okay, so he's going to tell us another new, we're now going to discuss this idea of the core is going to be us. Remember, because really, the Gemara over here is really quoting the wrong part of the Mishnah. The part of the Mishnah that really we're really discussing is the Mishnah after this line said, it depends on Zarei Kolo or not Zarei Kolo, which means whether the thing you planted is completely gone and it starts over again, or is the thing you planted still there and the new growth is expanding on that growth. So that's really the question over here that the Gemara is going to be dealing with. So his example is, instead of saying that I made an Isser, rather what happened was, and there's different ways to say this, but let's say that he either uprooted it or it grew on Shvius. So you have an onion, for example, an onion that grows during Shvius, which we know therefore after the Zman Bir, which means there's a time when most of these, this type of item, this vegetable, this fruit, whatever it is, would normally not be here anymore. So, and therefore it becomes also, you'd have to destroy it. So there is an Isser. But what this guy did was, he went ahead and he planted it during the eighth year, which is right now, technically, anything that grows now is mutter. So the question is, the base, the core, is Isser, because it has an Isser Shvius on it, but it grows, and what grows is completely mutter. So the question is, does that make it mutter? Verobu gidulov al ikroi. Now, what happens is, what grows is actually more than, or greater than, the main core. Let's say the core, just for argument's sake, to simplify this, had an ounce, was 1 ounce. And what grows now is 3 ounces. So it's definitely larger. So the question is, and the Gemara itself says what the question is, Gidulov heter v'ikr aser. Do we say what technically grows is mutter, but the core remains aser, because it always was aser? Do we say, kivan derobu gidulov meikaroi, or maybe we say, since what grows is more than and greater than the core, Oison gidulin heter, the what is now mutter, malin esa iser, overrides the iser, oiloi or not. In other words, what basically the Gemara is asking, the way the Ran learns, is as follows. Do we say there's a din of bittul? Do we say that since what grows now is more, it has to be more, because if it's not more, then anyway, the iser is going to be the main thing. But if we say that what grows, and it grows beheter, is more, so do we say that completely subverts the Isser and overrides the Isser, and the entire thing is going to be mutter, Eloi? Or do we say no, that the core remains Usser, and then, now, this is where the Ran says a very big Kiddush. The Ran says it's all or nothing. Okay, in other words, if I was reading the Gemara without the Ran, okay, so I'm not saying this is pshat, but if I was reading the Gemara without the Ran, what I would say is, the Gemara's question simply is about the core, whether the core becomes batel and it's mutter or not. But what grew should clearly be mutter, because that grew beheter. I would never have, that's how my brain would have understood this Gemara. The Ran, on the other hand, says no. The Gemara's question is an all or nothing question. What they were asking is, if you say what grew is mutter, then what we're saying is that now that it's mutter, it makes the entire onion mutter. Everything about it is going to be mutter. It completely overrides because it's the roiv. Or do we say just the opposite? We say the core stays in its iser, and therefore anything and everything that grows from the core is just growing more iser. It's more iser that's growing. The iser continues the same place. In other words, there's no possibility, according to the Ran, there's no possibility that the core should be usser, but what grows is mutter. That is not an option, according to the Ran. It's either completely mutter or completely usser. Either it overrides it and everything becomes batel and mutter, or it doesn't override it, and that means that the core remains usser. If the core remains usser, then anything and everything that's growing from it is growing be iser. To which the Gemara responds and says, also the comment to Reb Ami. So they asked this question to Reb Ami. He didn't know the answer. Also the comment to Reb Yitzchok Nafcho. So Reb Yitzchok Nafcho, they came to Reb Yitzchok Nafcho. He said, Poshet lei min hado. He said, I'm going to answer it from the following. To Amar Reb Chanina, Teriso, Amar Reb Yanai. Reb Chanina, Teriso said in the name of Reb Yanai. He gives the following example, which again is the example, a different halacha, but there's the food that we've been talking about till now. Batzel shel truma, shenotoi. So you took the truma, meaning that the onion itself is itself truma, which carries with it obviously the various isurim or the various halachas that regular truma applies to. Shenotoi. So you took this truma onion and you planted it, virabu, and it grew bigger and bigger. Gidulov, virabu gidulov al ikrei, and it grew not only more, but more than what the original onion was like. So the halacha is it's mutter. That's what Rav Yana says. It's mutter. Amalei Rav Yirmiya. Okay. So what does he see? So we see from here that even though technically it started off as truma, and anything therefore that grew from it should also be considered truma, the chiddush is no. That what grew, the extra that grew, is not truma, and it's mevatel the truma. So that's what Rav Yitzchok Nafcha wants to answer. Amalei Rav Yirmiya. Yeah. Okay, so if that's the case, that we say it's mutter, amale Rabbi Yirmiyahu v'itamer Rav Zareika. See, the Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rav Zareika says, shavak mar train v'ovid kechad. Why are you leaving over two opinions and going like one? Meaning, he quoted one opinion. There's no question that that is Rav Yanai's opinion. But I'm going to prove to you that there are more people that say it's usher than say it's heter. I'll bring you two other shitas that give other various examples, but similar idea. And they're going to say it's usher. Maninu train. Who are these other two shitas that we're talking about? Amar Rav Avuhu, Amar Rav Yochanan. So now we're quoting Rav Yochanan's shita. It says, Yaldo shesivcha bezekeinu. Uba Paris. So you have, now we're all familiar with the concept of Arlo, that when you plant a new tree, the first 3 years of the tree are Arlo, Aser, completely Aser, and you only becomes Mutter on the fourth year, on the fourth year it becomes Mutter to eat those Paris. So what happens if you graft a young tree, let's say a 2-year-old branch, together with an older tree that's 5-10 years old, whatever it is, it's totally mutter. You graft those two. Now the case over here has to be specifically uba peiros, as the Gemara says, that this tree, the branch that you grafted, already has peiros on it. Those peiros are erlo because they grew on the baby branch. And then you went ahead and grafted it, and now it continues to grow because it was a successful graft, and it continues to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. So the question is whether those, what grows is mutter or aser. In other words, do we consider it? So one other piece of information that the Ran provides over here, which helps us understand the Gemara. If that branch, let's say that branch had nothing on it, but it was off a tree that was only 2 years old, and I attached it to an older tree, and it grew peiros. There, the halacha is clear that those peiros are mutter. Okay, those peiros, because we consider the trunk of the tree the main thing. Each individual branch is not so important. It's the trunk of the tree. So anything that grows is considered growing from the older tree, even though this particular branch happened to be grafted off a younger tree. That's not relevant. But over here, the case was that the younger branch already had peiros, and those peiros are usher. And then you add it, and it grew more, and the growing is considered from the older tree, but it's growing, it's adding on to something that's usher. So that's why it's exactly relevant and the same as our case. So the halacha is, as the Mishnah, or the Rabbi Yochanan continued, says, Afal pisho hesifu masayim, here the extra is another 200, even though it added another 200, usher, it's going to be usher. So we see that if the core of it was usher, it doesn't matter what grew more, even though normally what grows more is enough to be mevatel. Here it doesn't matter. The way the Ran learns, let's not forget, he's not only saying that the original peiros that were originally usher continued to be usher, he's saying even the extra growth that normally is a shear that was able to be mevatel, it is not enough to be mevatel, and it's going to continue to be usher. So that's one place where we see that we say that the core remains usher, and therefore everything that grows is usher. As another case is v'amar Rav Shmuel bar Rebbe Nachmeni amar Rav Yonason, in the name of Rav Yonason, basol shenotoy bekerem. So here you had a case where you planted an onion in the middle of a vineyard. So that is your classic kalayim. You have vegetables and grapes growing together. That's kalayim. So it's usher. And it grew. And the onion grew a little bit. V'nekar akerem. And the person realized and he says, oh my gosh, I can't do this. So he goes and he uproots the entire vineyard so that you're left with the onion itself. So now there's no kalayim anymore. But it already grew a little bit. It started as kalayim. So the halacha is aser. Even what grows afterwards is going to be aser. So we see that the growth later is not going to override the new, is not going to be mevatel the original core. Anyway, so we see there are two that are usher and one that's going to be mutter. That's Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question. Why don't you follow the two shitas? So hadar usher the kamei de Rav Ami. Now this is interesting. They went back to Rav Ami, who, if you're following from the beginning of the Gemara, Rav Ami was the one that they originally asked this question to, and he said, I don't know. He says, I don't know the answer. But apparently, after they have all this information to digest it, they went back to Rav Ami. So Rav Ami wanted to say, okay, now that I have this information, I want to answer this question based on the following. Once again, now we're quoting Rabbi Yochanan over here, which is interesting because Rabbi Yochanan was the first quote that we said was Aser. Now we're about to quote Rabbi Yochanan that's going to say that it's Mutter. So he says, so the Ran already says it's Trey Tanoi Aliba to Rabbi Yochanan. It's, you're right. Rabbi Yochanan is being quoted by two different Tanoim in different ways, or Amoraim in two different ways. In any event, here the case is like this. Litro Bitzolim Shetikna Vizoro. So here what you had was you had your onions and you went ahead and you took trumas and maisers from your onions. Okay, which is very good. Now normally you only need to do that if you're going to eat it. But this guy, instead of eating his onion, went ahead and replanted it. Now he replanted it as chulin, meaning he already took his trumas and maisers from this onion. And then it grows again. Misaseres lefi kulo. The point is that now it grows. So originally, let's say it was 1 ounce, and you replanted it, and now it's 4 ounces, which means another 3 ounces grew. So it's altogether 4 ounces. So the halacha is, misaseres lefi kulo, the entire, you have to take trumas and maisers on it, off 4 ounces worth. You have to take maiser off 4 ounces worth. Alma, oysen gedulim avatlan ikar. Now, if I'm taking miser on all 4 ounces, that means including the 1 ounce that was already misered before I planted it, that's a raya that, you see, and this is also a raya to the Ran, that we see that the whole thing, that once the new overrides the old, you look at it as a new thing. And we don't look at what existed from the core is not relevant anymore. The new growth should completely override what was in the core. And this is a problem, because if you don't say that, you end up being part of it is mutter, part of it is usser. And the fact that we're saying, the main diuk over here is the fact that you're going to take meiser on the whole thing, including the part that already was taken meiser from before. So we see that the new completely overrides, and even the old becomes part of the new. Okay? To which, and we're going to stop with this line of the Gemara, even though it's not the mas, it's not the end of the Gemara, but we're going to stop over here. The Gemara says, "Alma oisin gedulim mevatlin ikar." So, as we said, that was the point that we said that we see that the new completely overrides the old. So we see, right? That seems to be the proof, and that's where Rav Ami wants the proof. And to which the Gemara says, "No proof." Dilma lechumra shani. Okay. So again, there's still one more line in the Gemara, but we're going to stop over here. It says that really, Anachanami, really, it's you can go either way. It could be that it does override, could be that it doesn't override, but even if it doesn't override, we're still going to require l'chumra, we're going to require that you take meiser on the whole thing. Okay? So it's just a chumra. And since it's just a chumra, and now the chumra could go, it could sometimes be the chumra that we say that it is batul, and sometimes it could be a chumra that we say it's not batul. Over here, because we want to be makbid and go l'chumra, we're going to say that it is batul for the sake of requiring trumas and maisers, requiring trumas and maisers from everything, including the part. So really, it could be that it's not batul, and it already trumas and maisers were taken from before. But l'chumra, we're going to require that you take trumas and maisers again. Okay?
You didn't answer
the point that the Ran makes, and then we'll stop over here, and we'll continue the Gemara. The Gemara ultimately will get to a maskana on Daf Nunches. But for now, let's just bring up the point. The problem that the Ran has with this Gemara is, if you're saying it's a Chumra, it's what we refer to as a Chumra de Asilu de Kula here. Because if there's a possibility that the core doesn't need Meiser, and the growth does need Meiser, when you take meiser, you're doing one of two things. You're either taking, you could potentially, anyway, I'm not saying that you are, but you could potentially either be taking the wrong amount of meiser, and really you're supposed to, meiser 10% is supposed to be 10%. And if you end up taking more than 10%, you have what we call tevel and chulin mixed together, because you took more. It's supposed to be 10%. Or, worse, you could be taking meiser from a part that's putter, to exempt a part that's chayiv, and the general rule is you can't take meiser min apater al chayiv. So if part of this, if the core really wasn't chayiv and meiser, then how is it permitted How is it permitted to take meiser from this onion when possibly you're taking meiser from a part that's not chayiv to exempt a part that is chayiv? So that's the Ran's kasha, to which the Ran answers, but etzem, really, we all agree that it's, once you plant it, it's really chayiv and meiser. And again, as the Gemara itself says, and this is why I want to emphasize based on what we discussed before, this is just a chumrah. This is just a chumrah. Really, midaraisa, it's not chayiv. Really, midaraisa, it's not chayiv in anything. It's not chayiv and meiser. But since, the ikar wasn't chayiv and meiser, anything that grows from it is not going to be chayiv and meiser. But midrabbanan, we're going to be machmer. So once we're going to be machmer, we're going to be machmer on the entire thing. So it doesn't. So there's no worry that you're going to get it wrong, because anyway, this is a chumrah derabbanan. If you were worried, if this was an issue deraisa, so if you get it wrong, then you're dealing with a deraisa. It's a problem. But since over here there is no concern of a deraisa, it's only a concern of derabbanan. So even if you do a little wrong and your calculations are off, or you took from the wrong part, or any of that, like that, it's only a chumrah derabbanan. You're only taking the ma'aser derabbanan anyway. So since you're only taking the ma'aser derabbanan, it's not. We're not worried that you're going to be doing it, so to speak, improperly. In any event, so we're left right now with the kasha. The Gemara never answered. There's still the possibility that we're still left with the general question: is overall, do we say that the new growth overrides the core, or do we say that the initial iser retains its iser, and then potentially even making the entire thing us or whatever grows from it? So we're going to leave that as a kasha, and we'll pick up at this from this point next time.